This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom.
My guest for episode 14 is Representative Daniel Pay from Lawton, Oklahoma. Mr. Pay was elected student body president at Oklahoma University, where he earned bachelor's degrees in political science and economics and a master's degree in public administration. In 2018, Mr. Pay won his House seat by a margin of 42 votes after a relentless canvassing campaign. Now at the age of 24, Daniel Pay is the youngest serving member of the Oklahoma legislature. For the 2020 legislative session, he introduced a Kratom Consumer Protection Act that comes with labeling requirements and a restriction on sales to those under 18. But first, happy Super Tuesday as the fight to keep Kratom legal continues all over the United States. San Diego County.
I've used Kratom, and it's very successful at removing pain.
I benefit mostly because I was a heavy drinker before. And actually, I stopped drinking completely without even realizing that I stopped just by using Kratom 3 times a week.
Alcohol controlled my pain, but I could not control the alcohol. 5 years later, I'm standing in front of this board, happily married, father of two, begging you to keep Kratom safe and accessible to all the good people of San Diego County.
Between 2011 and 2018, I was prescribed more than 20,000 Vicodins because of chronic pain that I had. Since I started taking Kratom, I have not had any opioid prescriptions.
Rhode Island.
So rather than banning Kratom, we found it was far more responsible to put a reasonable regulatory regimen around it. We learned as a nation through prohibition that banning something doesn't work. We learned from the war on drugs that banning illegal drugs we haven't been making progress on the war on illegal drugs, whether it's cocaine, heroin, opioids, whatever. But the market, if there's a reasonable regulatory structure, It protects the citizens, it protects the users. The industry is very much in favor of it because they don't want their product to be banned. That's what we did in Utah.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Once the legislators understand the science behind Kratom, then they see the benefits that it has. And the demonization that was provided by the FDA, steeped in all of the old data, which has been discredited, is no longer effective.
Mississippi.
And a longtime agent for the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics made about an hour and a half presentation. And in that presentation, he told the task force, you need to be aware of and understand the dangers of Kratom. None of us have even heard of it. And that's what we've run into in going around the state. So many people just don't know anything about it. But it's highly dangerous. It's destroying lives. It's destroying families. It's killing people.
But it's medicine. We don't need to keep it from the general public just because people don't understand or because some minors have got a hold of it. I just wonder if our lawmakers would, consider in a time when we're about to vote for medical marijuana to go through, keeping a natural botanical plant legal for adults to use, rather than going down this same hole of where we've been with medical marijuana now coming back to Mississippi, how many years the patients had to miss out on it because of misinformation campaigns, scare campaigns, when really it just needs to be regulated properly like the medicine it is.
I am 63, and I had about a 16-year addiction to hydrocodone. And I am a veteran. I did find Kratom about 2.5 years ago, and I took it for about 9 months. I found it in the powder form, and I took it like you would maybe a teaspoon a day and stuff like that. And I think about 2 years clean now. And ultimately, for me, it proved to be a valuable tool. And I just don't understand these ideas of blocking stuff to make, it saved my life.
For the latest in Kratom legislation for the 2020 session, see KratomScience.com. Here's my interview with Oklahoma Representative Daniel Pay. All right, so you're from Lawton, Oklahoma. We're out of Pittsburgh, but our listeners are people in the Kratom community from around the country. So I guess tell us about Lawton, Oklahoma.
Well, Lawton, we've got about 90,000 people altogether. We do have a military base to our north, Fort Sill. It's my hometown. That's where I was born and raised. And it's an honor to now be the representative for Lawton.
Yeah, and you are the youngest representative in the state of Oklahoma, is that right?
That's correct.
That's great. And you're a Sooner alumni. You were the student body president there, is that right?
That's correct, yeah, and graduated 3 years ago.
Okay, that's great, that's great. So how did you find out about this Kratom issue, and what made you want to put this bill out?
Sure. Well, I had a constituent in Lawton reach out to me last summer. She uses Kratom, and she had done some research on the Kratom Consumer Protection Act, which other states like Utah, Georgia, Arizona, and Oregon have already passed, and she was wondering what the possibility was for Oklahoma to pass its version. And so I did some research on that legislation, as well as more about Kratom and the many uses of it, and decided this was a good idea. And so I filed it with several other bills for consideration during this legislative session. And it's been a little hectic, I would say. We've gotten pretty far along in the process now as far as committee work. We're going to be wrapping up on Thursday. And the good news is that House Bill 2846, which is the Oklahoma Kratom Consumer Protection Act, passed unanimously through committee, and now it's on to the House floor, and it's already gotten a Senate author. So I don't anticipate that it'll face much opposition once it gets to that point. It's gotten bipartisan support, so I think it's a really good piece of legislation, and I think that we are on track to get it out of the House in the next couple of weeks.
That's great. That's great. And a lot of states are trying to pass a ban. Why do you think a regulation bill would be better than just an outright ban?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I don't think that what we're discussing with this bill is whether you support legalizing or banning Kratom. It's whether you want it to be regulated. And so I think when it comes to, for example, establishing into our statutes that Kratom products cannot be mixed with a dangerous non-Kratom substance, or that vendors may not sell Kratom products to anyone under the age of 18, I think there's a reasonable, common sense regulation that can keep the product legal and continue its availability for the folks who use it currently in Oklahoma, but while also maintaining good standards for the labeling and testing of the product.
In general, in the Kratom community, our opinion is if it's banned, it'll just go underground, and it might be mixed with more dangerous substances like fentanyl and heroin and whatnot. I lived in Oklahoma for 3 years, actually. I lived in Tulsa, and I think one of the issues I heard of, well, we voted on a referendum that I think like a small amount of drugs would be a misdemeanor instead of felony, and I think like one of your issues is the budget in Oklahoma. I mean, that's a big issue there. Is all the, like, kind of what I would see is excessive incarceration bad for the economy in general? Is this a factor in why you would maybe want to regulate something instead of making it against the law?
Well, you are correct in terms of we've seen a change in public opinion in this state as far as criminal justice reform. We've passed, I think, a number of good bills trying to reduce our incarceration rate, our recidivism rate. And that's why I think got us to a decrease in our ranking from no longer being number one in the world when it comes to incarceration to now being number two, which is still unacceptable.
Yeah.
But the trend line is heading in the right direction now. And another thing that we did as the state was passed, state question 780 and 781, that's what reclassified many felonies into misdemeanors for drug possession, and then use that money to invest in mental health programs. So I think we're making good changes in the right direction, and I want to make sure that we continue going in that direction in the future.
And the thing about the Kratom thing is the industry actually, I think you said you heard from one of your constituents, but the industry is actively petitioning to have their own product regulated, which is, I think it's a sign of, you know, they want to be a legitimate industry and not have it be, have Kratom be grouped in with bath salts and other like dangerous, you know, legal drugs that we had for a while. And do you see any other industries trying to have their own products regulated?
No, that was an interesting point you bring up. I've not heard of any other industry that type of policy position. So I think that is encouraging that the creative industry is being proactive and wanting to be at the table negotiating in good faith on this issue. And I think that's why you've seen bipartisan support accumulate for the bill.
Yeah, and that's another thing is I've been doing this Kratom activism stuff for about a year and a half now, and it's kind of like when you said bipartisan, it's kind of across the board, and people who, you know, I my Twitter feed is everything from Bernie to Trump, and it kind of doesn't matter. We're all kind of coming together to make sure the stuff stays legal for the, and because it helps a lot of people. I think a lot more than it hurts, and I think regulation is the way to go. I guess the question is, it seems like what I've studied about you is that you kind of want to work across party lines, and you want to come to practical solutions rather than one that adheres to an ideology or anything like that. Is that accurate?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not really good at being controversial. Some of my colleagues who take great joy in being bombastic and throwing lots of darts in the process, so to speak. But I think governing should be like riding a bike. You got to make sure you balance and not lean too far to the left or the right, and just focusing on good policy and what's sensible in the long run. And part of being a good legislator is developing good working relationships with everyone in the House and the Senate and across party lines. And so I think that's what has led to a successful tenure thus far with all of my bills passing with bipartisan margins. We need more of that in our contemporary politics. As you mentioned, there's so many different preferences out there, and oftentimes we can be polarized to the extent that we can't even work together on basic agreeable things, and that should not be the case.
What can people in the state do if they want to see this bill passed? Just a general question.
Well, definitely, you know, have folks reach out to their representatives and their senators, asking for their support on this bill. And then from there, you know, go to the governor's desk. And I'm pretty sure I don't see why he'd be opposed to it. I think it would get signed into law at that point.
I just have a couple more questions. I don't want to keep you too long. Do you have advice to other young people who want to run for office? And how did you gain the trust of the people who voted for you? Because a younger person, I don't know if there's like a hurdle there, and there might be. Just in general, how do you gain the trust of your constituents to bring you to victory?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think there is that challenge as a young candidate about whether you can demonstrate that you have enough life experience and the temperament to be a good representative. So the key is just meeting people directly. I knocked on over 12,000 doors during the campaign.
Wow.
Whilst I'm working a full-time job 8 to 5. And my victory margin was only a difference of 42 votes. So every vote mattered, and every door that I knocked made a difference in the end. So I think that's the key, ultimately, with any young candidate, is making sure that they're visible and showing to the community that they're willing to work hard and be a good listener and do whatever it takes to get things done on their behalf. That's the message that I brought to the table during the last campaign, and that's how I tried to govern. And when it comes to re-election, that's what I'll continue to emphasize, is I've learned a lot in this position, you know, a lot of ups and downs. Have I made a vote that is agreeable to all sides? No, I think, you know, part of the beauty of this country is that you can have differences of opinion, but not hate the people around you. Unless we're programmed robots, I don't see how you can agree 100% with any elected official. You're always going to have those disagreements. But I've tried to be accessible and make sure to communicate people, especially through social media. I think that is an advantage for a young person because we are tech savvy and we can utilize social media to our advantage and get our message out there on that platform.
What made you want to get into politics in the first place?
I always wanted to pursue a career in public service. Initially, I thought that meant pursuing a medical career, becoming a physician, but quickly learned that was not what I was passionate about when I got to college. And so when I got involved in student government, that's what I really became passionate about, the notion of being a policymaker and working throughout the various hoops and hurdles to enact good policy and try to make a difference in that avenue. And so when the opportunity came up 2 years ago, I decided to take the plunge and provide a younger voice on the ballot. And at the end of the day, I do consider myself a policymaker, not a politician. I like getting into the weeds of policy, which is what, you know, this Kratom issue was really fascinating to me, learning more about it and all the benefits that are associated with it. Things like that you know, it's really satisfying. Yes, there are a lot of obligations and responsibilities that come with being an elected official. Many of it is stressful and overwhelming. However, at the end of the day, you're trying to help as many people as you can. And that's what keeps me going.
To the Kratom thing, we want to keep it legal, because another thing it does, other than, you know, it doesn't make Kratom consumers criminals, is it allows for research to happen. Like with the cannabis issue, we haven't been able to research it until recently because of the laws. In Oklahoma, they have medical marijuana there too. Where do you stand on that in general?
Yeah, and you know, we passed the medical marijuana state question 788 2 years ago as well. I think we still have a long ways to go as far as making sure we get the program implemented properly. I think this session alone, we have a number of bills still trying to get it implemented in a safe and sound manner. So I think we got to focus on that as a state. But then as far as the longer term issue of criminal justice reform, I do think that's where we're headed as a state and as a country, is that most people agree with the idea that just because you have a few ounces of marijuana, that you should not be in jail for 20 years. I think we're doing a huge disservice to a lot of young people who are incarcerated, because now they're stuck in a very vicious cycle in the criminal justice system. I think, you know, we'd be better off with investing in addiction treatment, mental health programs, things like that, versus just trying to lock people up with simple drug possession. That's where I think we're headed. I think that's where most people agree, both for fiscal reasons, for our budgetary process, but also for moral reasons about having that type of policy. I think that's where the trend is going. within the next decade, I would predict.
I was going to say, so you see it as more of a public health issue rather than a criminal justice issue?
Oh, I think both are intertwined.
Yeah.
It absolutely has to do with mental health and physical health, but also when it comes to our prison system, looking at addiction as a health issue, as a disease, and trying to treat it. Because we have a lot of folks in our prison system that have mental health challenges, but we're not giving them the resources to recover and be more, have a better transition back into society. So I think that's what we got to focus on as policymakers.
And another issue we hear about from people who read our site and listen to the podcast is the chronic pain issue. There was overprescription of opioids for a while. Now it seems like people are having trouble getting them who actually need them, and so they're turning to kratom because it's available. How well does access to medicine factor in this, or even access to affordable medicine?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. One of the other bills I ran was establishing a drug importation program for Oklahoma to allow people to import prescription drugs that are the same quality but cheaper from Canada.
Okay.
And so as you might imagine, there's a pretty passionate opposition to the idea from the pharmaceutical industry's perspective. So the bill did get out of committee. It was a 5-4 vote, so very close. But I'm grateful for my colleagues who did support the measure. And that's something that I'm personally invested in and want to see through to the end of this session. This is something that other states like Florida, Colorado, Maine, and Vermont are working on. So I think as a state in Oklahoma, we definitely need to take advantage of it and be a part of the national conversation on this issue. This is one way how I think we can have greater cost savings and lower prescription drug prices for our consumers in Oklahoma.
How many? You seem to have a lot of bills out there. How many did you put through?
Well, I filed 23 bills.
23.
And 23. Yeah.
Is that like a normal amount, or is that a lot? I'm not even sure.
You know, average, I would say. That's supposed to file 40, 50 bills. But of course, in our chamber, we're limited to 8 bills going through the committee process, simply since there's so many of us. So I've gotten 6 bills now. I have one more on the docket for Thursday. So I anticipate that I'll get 7 of them through committee, and I'll be on to the floor after that.
And is it just the two we discussed, the kratom and the medicine bill, that are public health, or do you have any other public health bills?
Those are the only two public health bills.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. We appreciate you talking with us, and we'll let you get back to your constituents.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that we were able to make it work. Sorry again for the back and forth.
No problem. No problem at all. Yeah. I think I emailed you the first day of session, so it was probably bad timing, but good, because I looked after I sent the email. I'm like, he's probably busy. But thanks a lot for what you're doing down there, and we appreciate it, and we hope to see your bill passed in the law, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the opportunity, Brian, and hope you have a good day.
Yeah, have a good day. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you, Representative Daniel Pay from Lawton, Oklahoma. Clips from the show will be listed in the description. The music is by Risey. The song is called Memories of Thailand. This is written and produced by me, Brian Gallagher, for KratomScience.com. Take care.